Thanks, everybody, for being with us today. I'm Todd Zwillick. The indictment against Paul Manafort and Rick Gates spanned nearly 10 years of political consulting work in Ukraine on behalf of the pro-Russian government there, the Party of Regions, and the opposition bloc. Now, Manafort and Gates both entered not guilty pleas on Monday. The White House said again that the charges have nothing to do with the President of the United States. Here's Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort in July 2016 with Nora O'Donnell on CBS.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's obviously what our position is.
Ann Applebaum is a Pulitzer Prize winning historian, a columnist for The Washington Post, and an expert on politics in Eastern Europe. Her most recent book is Red Famine, Stalin's War on Ukraine, which we talked about here on the show a couple of weeks ago. Ann, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
And you've said that in 2016, when you saw some of President Trump's strategies and tactics in the campaign, running on anti-elite rhetoric, stoking ethnic divisions, complaining that the election was rigged against him, that it all looked familiar to you.
Absolutely. Almost as soon as Trump appointed Manafort, I started watching for Ukrainian-style tactics, meaning the tactics that Manafort had used in Ukraine to promote a pro-Russian candidate who was also profoundly corrupt, as it turned out, and who also eventually sought to undermine the Constitution. These included the constant claim that his opponents were corrupt, the constant talk of rigged elections, focusing on particular ethnic groups and setting them against other ethnic groups. These were all absolutely Russian-style tactics that Manafort has used before and that we saw absolutely in our election campaign as well.
Well, how do Ukrainians view Manafort and his team and the history of their work in their country for so long?
So when Manafort was appointed to the Trump campaign, there was real consternation in Ukraine because people knew exactly who he was. He'd been there for many years. He was very closely identified with a disastrous president who wound up fleeing the country, so much so that Ukrainians actually began digging for evidence that Manafort had defied the law in Ukraine. And last summer, they produced this proof that he'd been paid off the books by one of the Ukrainian political parties, something like $12 million in cash. And that may have been one of the early clues that the FBI used to start tracing what had happened to Manafort's money. I know that when the indictment came out yesterday, there was widespread interest and rejoicing in Ukraine, certainly among the people who wanted to see him and his corrupt party defeated. You know, lots of people are saying, "We told you so."
Well, claims of "we told you so" coming from Ukraine. Ann Applebaum, Manafort's history in Ukraine, his political operations is one thing. But you've been writing about the combination of that and what's in the indictment that you mentioned, the charges themselves, the use of shell companies, offshore banks, the alleged lavish spending, the alleged money laundering, and that all of that in Manafort's behavior, quite outside his 9-to-5, sounds familiar too.
So Paul Manafort is evidence of something that's been disturbing me for a long time, which is an increasing convergence between a part of the American, actually really Western, political and business elite and the post-Soviet political and business elite. These are people who have no qualms about hiding their money in offshore accounts, moving it around the world secretly, spending it lavishly, treating the states that they come from cynically. This is a world that essentially huge amounts of loose money coming out of Russia and other post-Soviet countries over the last 10 years have contributed to the growth and expansion of this whole secret world of hidden money. And the West has absolutely facilitated it, and a lot of Western businessmen and politicians have taken advantage of it.
So to be clear, Ann Applebaum, what you're suggesting there is a kind of emulation among these political operatives, certainly Manafort, possibly others, of a Russian way of doing business and politics and mixing business with politics.
Well, this is what Trump himself does. And Trump very much lives like a Russian oligarch, and he mixes with Russian oligarchs. And this is the world that he admires. Putin is somebody he emulates. He's spoken of him reverently in the past. And this is because Putin, of course, is the ultimate Russian oligarch. He's the one who is thought to have the most money and to have the most power and to have managed to, you know, turn money into power and vice versa better than anybody else has done. And he never has really hidden his feelings that this is the world to which he aspires. And of course, he's not alone. Manafort has been close to him for many years. He would certainly have known that Manafort had these kinds of contacts in Russia. and in the pro-Russian parts of the Ukrainian establishment, because that's mostly what Manafort has been doing for the last decade.
And let's talk about timing for a moment. We got a call from Michigan about the timing of Manafort's actions that are alleged in the indictments that he's pled not guilty to, and how it's connected potentially to the White House.
Hi, this is Andrew in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Trump said on Twitter that if Manafort may have done something, it was prior to him being involved in the campaign. How much do his charges hinge on the timing?
So, and the question there, you know, the president says, sorry, all of this took place long before the Trump campaign, has nothing to do with me and nothing to do with collusion.
So Trump hired Manafort at a moment when Manafort was profoundly enmeshed in Russian business, and Trump could not have not known that. And what the charges do is they establish that this was the case. But I also think it's incorrect that they stop before the campaign. We know there's evidence that Manafort was in touch with Russian oligarchs, was looking to sell influence even up to the spring of 2016. So the idea that he was somehow separate from this and that he, you know, joined the campaign while he had no connection to Russia is absurd.
You know, Anne, we're going to let you go, but everything you're saying about Paul Manafort, his education in Eastern Europe, Ukrainian-style tactics, Russian-style tactics, he's been charged now, but is he the only person, is he the only American political operative who's learned how to do these things? I mean, we have to remember these tactics helped win an American election, and I would think that others might want to use them in the future.
No, absolutely. There are many people who have studied the same thing. Actually, Manafort had quite a lot of help in Ukraine. He at one point brought a couple of dozen American consultants over to help him remake Yanukovych's image, to help him learn how to talk on TV, to help him pick out the right suits. These are widely known tactics. And I don't want to suggest, by the way, that they are, you know, somehow unique to Russia or only Russia could have done it. I mean, certainly the use of social media, the use of this very divisive, targeted messaging, that's something anybody is going to be able to do. And it's important that we pay attention to how these kinds of elections are run and that we look for antidotes that go beyond this particular election and these particular people.
Anne Applebaum, author of Red Famine, Stalin's War on Ukraine, and columnist for The Washington Post. Anne, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.